All right. God bless you all. Wonderful to be together with the saints once again, to be able to share the greatness, the wonderful Word of God. You know, we've alluded to this quite a few times in the past few weeks, but Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the purpose of the Word is so that the man of God may be fully furnished unto all good works. And of course, there was one man in history who lived with that as his mission, and that was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as I was preparing for the sharing, I had no idea what we were going to hear yesterday, which I thought Barney did a wonderful job. But tonight I want to share a couple of things that might make us go a little crazy, but you'll see what I mean in just a minute. Especially with this this resurrection time of year, as we heard yesterday, we're not victims, we are victors. So I've entitled the sharing tonight, Beyond Our Comprehension. Now, there are a few things in life that I think about when it comes to something being a little bit beyond what we can actually process or fathom. For me, the first thing I think about that I come to a stopping point because I just can't process the whole entire thing, and that would be the birth of a child. Mm-hmm. You take an egg and a sperm, put them together, and you get a human out of that. Bones, blood, different types of tissue, two arms, two legs, a brain. You can't fathom. It's beyond our comprehension. Another thing I think about is the universe. Billions of stars and planets, and God has designed each one of them and has placed them in a particular place. You can't fathom it. It's beyond our comprehension. There's something in God's Word that I don't think many people really understand. I don't think we even understand to its fullest potential. And that is our salvation. You know, we all know what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the moment one person confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're saved and they receive the gift of Holy Spirit. They receive eternal life. And what this took for God to redeem mankind is a little bit beyond what we can think of. You know, he had to sacrifice his only begotten Son so that we could have a relationship with him. Think about that. I don't think anyone who has had children or currently have children, I don't think giving them up or losing them, you can't process that. That's unimaginable. And, let alone the possibility that anything can happen to any one of us at any given time. But you get the picture. I think every single one of us has had a desire to be accepted in one way or another, whether it was at home or at school or at work, whatever the case may have been. Feeling as if you're accepted gives you a sense of self-worth. And many times, people look into their materials or that they have in order to feel better about themselves. They look at their own thoughts, their own accomplishments, their own strengths, their own abilities, whatever the case is, the list goes on and on. And there are countless individuals out there that they're struggling with this idea of being accepted or feeling a sense of self-worth. But the reality is that It's not about what we've done. It's about the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think even many Christians around the world struggle to understand this concept. Because many times they're taught, well, as long as you're a good person, things are going to be okay. As long as you do this, as long as you do that, you're going to be fine. But our salvation is not based on our own performance, about what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And we didn't do a single thing to earn it. It's just given to us for free. And that's where our fulfillment should be based on. You know, under the Old Testament covenant, someone would bring in an animal, oftentimes it was a lamb. They would bring it into the temple for the high priest to look at as a sacrifice in order to be, you know, accepted by the church. But the priest would not look at the individual. They would check on the animal to make sure it was, you know, unblemished. But Jesus Christ was our perfect, faultless sacrifice. It was the one that would ultimately secure our forgiveness and sonship for all eternity, beyond our comprehension, to fathom the work that had to be done so that we could have a direct communication and relationship with the Father. You know, yes, we're holy, we're sanctified, you know, we have the righteousness of God because of who He is, not because of us. We no longer belong to the God of this world, so He can't have you. But what He can do is He can try to talk you out of who you are in Christ. He can try to get you to believe that lie that He is constantly trying to get into people's heads. You know, John 8:44, the latter part of that verse says that the adversary is the father of lies. But Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now that's where our faith comes from. But that's the challenge we're up against, guys. Do we remain steadfast? Or do we believe the lie that Satan is always attempting to sneak into our minds? And one of the biggest lies that has ever been brought forth by Satan is the idea that God's opinion of you is based solely on what you have done or what you haven't done. Your performance. And like I said before, many people, including Christians, get caught up in this lie. What God thinks of you is a result of how you live your life day in and day out, or how you perform before Him. Is this true? No. Couldn't be further from the truth. Because God has already judged us in Christ. And that's the truth of God's word. And that's just so far beyond what we can fathom. Because we didn't have to do anything to earn our salvation. So I want to go to Ephesians 2 once again, kind of culminate this thing. In Ephesians 2, we read it yesterday, starting in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." And verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." By grace we are saved. Not by works, not by what we've done, what we haven't done. And we did not have to do a single thing to earn our salvation, because Jesus Christ took care of it all at Calvary. And, you know, for the most part these days, especially in the five senses realm, you got to earn everything. Like, you don't work, you don't get a paycheck. So someone asked me, a dear friend of ours asked me about a week ago, we were sitting at the dinner table, and she says, you know, what do you think of, paraphrasing, what do you think of our salvation? What do you think of, all of it? And I said, well, to be honest, it's a little bit beyond me these days, because none of us had to do anything to earn it. It was just given to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all I had to do was accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was all. And then she asked, well, what about our sin nature? I said, well, what about it? Our salvation is not based on our strengths, our abilities, our deeds, what we've done, what we haven't done, just been given to us freely. But for Christ, yep, he's the one who had to endure it. And that's what makes the Christian walk so remarkable. It's at no cost to the believer to have eternal life. All you have to do, all one has to do, is confess that Jesus Christ endured the ultimate price. Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, just by confessing the truth. And it's like we heard yesterday, our rewards are going to be coming at us when we get up there at the Bema, which in the King James, once again, translates to the judgment stand, but it is a reward stand. So, because we've already been judged in Christ. So to wrap this thing up, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. And we all know this little record here in verse 52. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this is where we're going to end up. This is the end goal in mind. Christ will come back. He will come to get us at no charge to us. So I'll kind of end on this note, just like we heard yesterday. Once again, we are victors, but not victims, through Christ, from now through all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this very simple yet misunderstood reality of Christ within us. Oh my goodness, what a joy it is to be a part of your family. It's so remarkable, Father, what you had to do to get us back into your presence. But from now until the end of this fleshly life, Father, until you send your Son, Jesus Christ, back to gather us all up so that we could be with you for all eternity, we try our best to live like your Son lived. So thank you for all that you do, all that you are to us, Father. And there's no other words that we can say to you besides thank you, Father, for everything from now until the rest of our lives, Father. So thank you for this. And it's in the powerful, wonderful name of our risen Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.